181 in the middle of the page.
181 in the middle of the page, yes, correct. Okay. 181 at the bottom, 98 on top. No, I'll tell you a little truth. We're more than halfway. Okay, we'll start again. You know what? Start seven lines at the top of the page. The 181. We'll be a little bit past the middle of the page. We'll start there. Okay, 181 at the bottom, 98 on top. Dr. Rebbe is explaining. This whole thing, why learning is more important, because it's the internal levels, it's thought and speech, and so on and so forth. But the ultimate goal is to elevate the physical world, and therefore in that respect, mitzvahs are greater than Torah. So he says like this, around the first six lines, we're going to be quick. This revelation, when a Jew does a mitzvah, or learning Torah, that a Jew brings down on himself and on other Jews, that's the Shekhinah, is the divine presence, Knesset Yisrael, which is called the gathering of the Jews. Mokar called Neshamis Yisrael, Kamesh Shekosu Lekamon. This revelation of godliness that a Jew brings down when they learn Torah is called, Eireesek HaTorah, is called Nikras Beloshin Kriya. It's called Kriya B'Torah. What does Kriya mean? Calling. Kriya doesn't mean learning. Kriya means to call. What does it mean call? When I call you, you come. Unless you're a teenager. I call you, you come. Kriya B'Torah Pirish. What does it mean? Sheidei Eisek HaTorah, by occupying oneself in learning Torah. Kriya LaKadosh Baruch, he actually calls God, Lovei Elef, to come to him. A person, when they learn Torah, is actually calling Hashem, and Hashem listens. You're calling Hashem because you're bringing godly Torah into your body, into your mind. You're actually bringing God, you're calling Hashem, and He turns to you and He comes. Like a person who calls his friend and he comes, or keben katan, like a little child, who calls his father, Lovei Elov, to come to him, liyis ima, to be with him, betzafse choda, in a close unity, okay? V'lei liparid bimenu chasasholim, not to become separated from him, v'li shoy yechidi chasasholim, to be alone. Meaning like this. It's like the analogy of a child doesn't want to be alone, so he calls the parents to come, the father to come, and the father comes. When a Jew learns Torah, we're the children calling our Father in heaven, and He comes. He actually comes. And because He comes, we're not alone. A Jew wouldn't be alone, because if Hashem is not coming to us, we're all alone. We're a kid that's fatherless, so to speak. Fatherless not because Hashem's here anyway, but as far as our interaction with Him, our interrelationship with Him, if we don't call Him, then we don't have Him. So this is the greatness of Torah. And he says, La Fuke. I'm sorry, I skipped. Vizel Shakosu, this is what the Pasuk says, we say in Ashrei in Tilim. Karev Hashem L'chol Kerov. Hashem is close to whoever calls him. L'chol Asher Yikru V'emes, to all who call him with truth. Which, if you think about it, is a contradiction within the Pasuk itself. The first half of the Pasuk says, Hashem is close to all who call him. That means, doesn't matter how you call him, as long as you call him, he comes. And then the second half of the pasuk says, L'chol asher yikra'u be'emes, the ones that call him with truth. That means, not everybody, only those who call Hashem with truth. Ve'in emes ala teira, because emes is teira. In other words, the pasuk is saying, calling Hashem can only be done if you're calling Him with truth. And what is truth? Vein emes ela teira. Emes is only teira. The Hainu. Therefore, what it says, when you call God Be'emes, with truth, the Chol Asher Yikra'u Be'emes, those that call Hashem with truth, what does it mean? Shekere LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ayidei HaTeira Dafka. He calls Hashem through Teira. I'll explain this whole thing. LaFuki, to exclude, Mi Shekere Eise Shalei Ayidei Eise HaTeira. If you call God not by learning Teira, Elotzeikach Abba Va'Abba, the guy goes, Father, Father. If you don't call him with truth, you don't get him. Which means like this. The Altreb is alluding to a fundamental Yiddish concept. You always meet Jews that say, me and, you know, tell them to bench there, put on tefillin, whatever. I don't do that. Me and God have a unique relationship. We have a unique relationship. I don't need tefillin. This is what they say. I don't need learning. I don't need mitzvahs. I don't need this to connect. I'm self-cleaning, self-connecting. Okay, that's what many people say. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is a fundamental problem of a complete misconception of what this is all about. There's no way mathematically, intellectually, emotionally, anyway, that finite can tap into infinite. It just can't be. Finite mind can never become infinite. A finite heart can never become infinite. A finite human being can never become infinite. So if I have my relationship in my way with Hashem, it's basically saying, I have my way, to my terms, and therefore I'm connected to the infinite God on my terms. There's no way a finite, limited term can reach the infinite Hashem. It just can't be. Mathematically, it can't be. What's the uniqueness of Torah? Torah is because it's on Hashem's terms, meaning like this. It's like the Alter Rebbe gives a marshal. You have a great king, super, super great king, and a super, super low peasant. And there's no connection between the peasant and the king. This is the epitome of royalty. This is the epitome of basically nothingness, you know. All of a sudden, though, the king calls in the peasant and says, do this for me. That calling in the peasant and the king telling him to do something automatically creates a bond. The king created the bond with the peasant by calling in the peasant. It's not the peasant's bond with the king. It's the king creating the peasant, the bond with the peasant, that when the peasant does what the king wants, then they have a bond. Right? He calls him in, he does it, so now they created a bond. Torah is what Hashem wants us to do, so when and it's on his terms, therefore Hashem's calling us peasants, basically, and he says, listen, peasants, I want you to do mitzvah A, B, 1, 2, 3, 6, 13. Okay? So, because Hashem is telling us to do the mitzvah, then when the Jew does the mitzvah, now you have a bond with the infinite. Because Hashem, who is above both, just united the infinite and the finite. Because he's above both. Remember, we learned many times. If you ask a question to somebody that doesn't understand this, is God finite or infinite? They will answer you, God is infinite. If you ask a question, is God spiritual or physical? A normal person in the street will tell you God is spiritual. He's not physical, he's spiritual. That is a completely incorrect statement. Number one, what's wrong with that? Two things wrong with that. Number one, if you say Hashem is infinite, number one, you are limiting him that he's infinite and not finite. Infinite itself is a limitation that it's only infinite and not finite. So if somebody says God is infinite, you're basically limiting him by saying you're not finite. But there's a bigger problem with that. If he is infinite, how in the world can he create finite? You can't create what you're not. If Hashem is infinite, if he's bleak vul, how can he create vul? How can he create limitation? It's impossible. So what's the real concept here. And the same thing with spiritual and physical. If you say God is spiritual, if you say Hashem is spiritual, you're limiting Hashem that he's spiritual, not physical. So again, he's limited. And secondly, if he's only spiritual, how in the world can Hashem create physical? It doesn't work. So therefore, we must say, okay, it's really five words in Tillim, that David HaMelech says this, Hashem is not finite, he's not infinite, he's not spiritual, he's not physical, he's not natural, he's not supernatural, he's above it all. Hashem is above infinite and finite. Don't even try to get it, because we're finite, we don't get anything. Okay? But conceptually, we can understand that Hashem is not finite, and he's not infinite. Because we said if he's infinite, he's limiting, and then he can't create finite. So therefore, Hashem is above both. Therefore, because he's above both, he can make infinite, he can make finite, and he can combine the two together. He's not spiritual, he's not physical, he's above both. And therefore he can make spiritual, he can make physical, and he can combine spiritual and physical, like creating a human being, life in a body, is connecting spiritual with physical. So when Hashem, in this above infinite state, calls in the Jew, and says, do this, learn this. So then, Hashem says, then when you call me, because it's my material, it's my Torah, you're calling me, then I come to you. And I'm becoming internalized within you. But Torah is emes. Why is Torah emes? You see it in every aspect in life. Just to give one that's very clear, a clear way where you see Torah is emes, Torah's truth. Morals and ethics, which are primarily in the world man-made. Ethics and morals were man-made. And therefore they change by the place and time. Anybody that's a little bit older in the room remembers what was completely, completely immoral in the 50s, later on became a mitzvah. All aspects of life. Things that were completely unheard of, completely immoral in the 50s, now is no problem doing it. You know what we're talking about?
What did you say? It's a mitzvah?
It's a mitzvah?
I'm saying in their mind it's a mitzvah.
In their minds it's a mitzvah.
Oh, God, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We're wondering
what are you talking?
No. Okay, things that were completely immoral, now people say, no, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
We're okay, you know what we're all talking about. Okay. Amongst millions of other things, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. So that, by the way, shows that it's not true. Something which is ultimately true is always true in every time and place. Something which is sometimes truth is not true. Right? The Alter Rebbe calls it the expression, Va'ad argia lashon sheker. Permanency for a minute is called a lie. Okay? Permanency for a minute is a lie. Now, they use the words about the Beinoni. V'aragia, Lashon Sheker. It's not emes. Emes, if it's true, it's always true. If it was true in day one of creation, then it's true in the year 5777 of creation too. And if it wasn't true then, it's not true now. So, that's why morals and ethics of Torah are emes. Because no matter who, what, when, where, if it's morally Torah, according to Torah, it's morally correct. It's always and will always be right. And if it's not morally correct, it's not morally correct. It was and will never be morally correct. Okay? So he says that this is what the Pasuk said. This is what Dr. Rebbe is explaining. When a person's calling Hashem by learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, it's called Korei B'Torah. Why is it called Korei B'Torah? You say Kriya Satorah. Because when you read Torah, you're actually calling Hashem down, and Hashem comes to you through the truth of Torah, and not like somebody who just screams, Father, Father, and it's not true. Because even if he comes, by the way, it won't be a permanent coming. He'll be very, very superficial, very, very part-time. It won't be emes. And he says, "K'meisha kabel olav anavi," like the navi would complain that "ein kader b'shimcha," nobody calls your name, as explained elsewhere. So he says like this: if that's the case, that when a person learns Torah, they actually bring down Hashem and themselves. He said, "Mizeh yisbeinin amaskil." This the intellectual will understand. Lahamchich olav, to draw on themselves, yira gedela, a great fear, b'shas esek ha-teira, like he explained before in Perichov Gimel, the 23rd chapter. Meaning like this: if a person realized, when I study Torah, Hashem is present, and accounted for, in the presence of God, you have awe and fear. Mm-hmm. Okay? Like it says, the Gemara says, Rabbah, not that Rabbah quotes in Tanya, it's in the Chasana Maimer. Rabbah, before he started learning with the students, cracked a joke. They laughed. Well, the Besef, Yosef Be'emse Opasach B'Shmaitse. And then they sat with fear and awe, and they started learning. In other words, he made a joke for them to loosen up a little bit, to open the mind, to get them in a good mood. And then they sat with fear, and they learned Torah properly. Because it says, just like by Har Sinai, the Jews were in awe, and they're in they're all in this awe and fear of Hashem. That's the way it is every person. And he says, now you can understand why. Because when you actually learn Torah, you're bringing Hashem into your presence. So then you should treat it respectfully. Okay. Next, let's the Perek Lamed Ches. V'hine im kola now yuvin heitev, now we can understand properly, psak halacha arucha b'talmud, the established law that is mentioned in the Talmud uposkim, hirur laf k'dibur dami. Then people should know. You know, you go to shul a lot of times, people are reading the siddur with their eyes. People daven with it. You didn't fulfill your obligation of davening. You have to actually say the words. It says, but the halacha is, hirur lav kedibur dami. Thinking is not like verbal speech, articulation. V'imkara krishma b'machshavta yubalibe levad. And he said, if a guy just mentally uses his whole mind in the intent of the Shema, and his heart, b'chol koyach kavanah, with his whole intent, but he doesn't say the words, Lo yotzi yidei chavasi, did not fulfill his obligation of Shema. That means, a guy that just says the words and knows what the simple meaning is, hero is on that, he did the mitzvah. This guy can sit down and meditate into the greatness of Shema Yisrael for 10 years, and he didn't say the words, he didn't get the mitzvah. V'tzarech l'achzer v'likreis, and he has to read it again. And he says, v'chein birchas hamazon, the same thing, benching after eating, Deraisa, which is biblical, or Shai brachas, or all the other brachas which are rabbinic, and tefillah, right? You have to say the words. But he says, Vim hot heitzi bisfasa, what happens if the guy said the words? Vile kivan libe, but didn't have kavana, didn't have intent. Yotzi yedei chayvasa b'diyevit, he fulfilled his obligation in passing, impassibly. Vein tzarech lachzer levad, I mean, he doesn't have to repeat it, except the first pasuk Shema and the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei. That means the halacha is like this. If a guy said all the words of davening, but he didn't think about it, he fulfilled his, passively, it's not the great way, but he fulfilled his obligation of davening, doesn't have to daven again. The only two things you need, kavana, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you have to know what it means, and the first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. The first bracha of the Amida, you need to know what the words mean. Otherwise, bidiyat. So he says, understand. I say the words without intent, I did the mitzvah. I have all the intent, but didn't say the words. I didn't do the mitzvah, I have to do it again. Like, why? What's the point of it? He says, like the Gemara says, Okay, mitzvah's kavana. Like the Gemara says, this is how much kavana you need, the first pasuk of Shema and the first brach of the Shemoneh Esrei. Mikan ve'elach, after that, mitzvah's kriya, there's only a mitzvah of reading. Okay? So now the question is, seemingly, somebody would tell you, intent would make much more sense to fulfill your obligation of davening than just saying the words without intent. So why is it? He said, based on what he explained until now, we can understand why thought itself is no good, and you have to speak it. Why? He says like this, Mishum shaneshama ein atzrichen tikkun la'atzma b'mitzvahs. The neshama doesn't need to be rectified, doesn't need to be perfected through doing mitzvahs. When a neshama does a mitzvah, whether it's davening or learning or mitzvahs, it's not for the benefit of the neshama. The neshama is perfect. It's a part of Hashem. What's the purpose of it? Rak laham shech ur, what's the purpose of the neshama coming into the body to do mitzvahs? To bring down a revelation, lesakein nefesh achiyunis, to purify and to rectify and to fix the animal soul, meaning the Yetzirah, vahaguf, and the body, aide aisis adibas, through verbal speech, shanefesh medaberes behemet sepeh, that the mouth speaks. Meaning like this. Why is verbally saying the words? Because you need to elevate the physical body. Not only your neshama. You can have all the kavana with your neshama, that's fine. But that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is not to fix the neshama. Not to refine the neshama. The neshama is part of Hashem. The neshama is perfect. The purpose of mitzvahs is to refine the body and the part of the world that you're around. And therefore it has to come into tangible things. You know, you find this in other, so to speak, relationships also. If you have, let's say, friends, spouses, or any of that stuff, yeah? And somebody will say, I really love you with all my heart and all my soul, but I ain't doing a thing for you. It doesn't work. The relationship is not going to work. Yeah, you can have a lot of love, but if you don't bring it down into tangible action, verbal words, physical action, it's worthless. Especially in this world, which is an action world, action counts. You know, somebody can have a pair of tefillin on the table. You look at the tefillin, and you go through every halachic, kabbalistic, concept of tefillin. You had some good thoughts, but you still didn't get the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. And a simple Jew that doesn't know anything takes the tefillin and wraps it around the hand, he did a mitzvah. He got the mitzvah of tefillin. Because the whole concept, like the Rebbe explained, before, the concept of Mashiach is that the world becomes elevated to Kedusha, Dira B'Tachtainim, the dwelling place, that the low world is transformed to holiness. And therefore he explains, what is that? During the time of Golus, especially the time of Golus, when it's darker and it's more difficult to do mitzvahs, and the Jew still does mitzvahs, that elevates the physical world. Therefore, this elevates it even more than in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Time of the Beis HaMikdash, they saw godliness. They saw miracles. So it's much easier to practice when things are light and good. Okay, but now there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's only darkness, only problems, only tzaddis, and who knows what. And yet, the Jew does a mitzvah. So in the darker times when you do a mitzvah, it shines brighter. The light shines brighter, the darker the room is. Right? Like the Gemara has an expression, Shiraga betihara mayhani, means if you take a candle during daylight, what does it do? Nothing. It doesn't do anything. But if you light it in a pitch black room, then the candle is going to shed light. But the Altareb has explained, now we can understand why it's not enough just to think mitzvahs. It has to come on into verbal and action because then you're elevating the world. The neshama itself, which is obviously more connected to thought, the neshama itself doesn't need to be perfected. It's perfect. What does the neshama need to come down to do mitzvahs? The body, physical body, needs to do mitzvahs. The mouth, the hands, the feet, the stomach, all the parts need to do a mitzvah. So that's why you have to do the mitzvah in the physical world. By the way, the neshama doesn't need to be perfected. But by the neshama doing this in the body, neshama reaches a level that he wouldn't have reached otherwise. But you're not purifying him, you're not refining him, he's a perfect neshama. He's just going to a higher level of perfection.
Does he stay there?
Huh?
Does he stay there? I think I asked that before.
What do you mean, does he stay there?
When you do that mitzvah, is your soul, does it elevate and stay at that level? Or does it come back down to where it was? You bounce up back
and forth? No, it goes to that unity.
Yeah.
Lasts forever.
Okay.
The Rebbe, in the 25th chapter of Tanya, says Yichud Zeh LeMaylu Hunitzchi LeElam Void, which means a Jew. He gives an analogy like you put money into the pushka, right? So he gave tzedakah. I gave tzedakah at 9:37. Yeah, okay. It's not that 9:37 you're connected and the 9:38 you're not, because at 9:37 when you did the mitzvah, you connected yourself to Hashem. Hashem is above time and place. So it's not that you connected yourself to Hashem at 9:37, because Hashem is above time and place. So therefore you're connecting yourself eternally to Hashem. That level stays, it never goes down. The problem is, we get older, we're supposed to be more mature, and we're supposed to do more. Because if you stay status quo on a steep mountain climbing, you fall down. So the Eibishter Hashem made it in a way that life, from the minute we're born until we go, is climbing a steep mountain. You stop, you fall down. Hashem gives, this is what it says in Chassidus. Dr. Rebbe says this many places. Hashem gives every Jew a mission, an amount of time to do the mission. Okay, it's like a boss. It's a pretty strict boss. He says, I'm giving you a job to do. You have an hour to do the job. Okay? You better finish in the hour. Because if not, you blew it. Because the next hour, you have another mission to do. Okay? So Hashem says, listen guys, I'm giving you 120 years of life. I'm giving you a mission that takes 120 years to do. By the way, the mission could be eating and sleeping like a Jew. Eating like a Jew, sleeping, it's all part of serving Hashem. But Hashem doesn't give extra credit. There's no bonus rounds. You know, you blew it. Okay, so Hashem is a nice guy. He gives us a concept of tshuva, that we can make up lost time by doing tshuva, which taps into it. But when a Jew does a mitzvah once, that mitzvah stays with them forever. There are certain mitzvahs that need to be done different amount of times. For instance, tefillin needs to be done every day, except Shabbos and Yom Tov, but once a day. Right? Shofar is a mitzvah once a year. That means that mitzvah once a year lasts for the whole year. Tefillin you have to do every day. You don't put out tefillin once a year. Right, lulav biblically is one, the first day of Sukkot. Right, Megillah is on Purim. You don't read the Megillah every day of the year. If you did, you don't get a mitzvah anyway. That means whether it's biblical mitzvah, rabbinic mitzvah, every mitzvah. Why do we have to put on tefillin every day? Why not once a week? Like Shabbos is once a week, right? Why do we have to put it? Because certain mitzvahs last this amount of time, certain mitzvahs last this amount of time. But because I put on tefillin yesterday, and that unity with Hashem is permanent, that doesn't mean I don't have to put on tefillin today. Because today I need to reach a new unity that yesterday didn't reach. Certain mitzvahs are enough weekly, monthly, yearly. Then you have sabbatical mitzvahs once every 7 years. The jubilee mitzvahs once every 50 years. Everything has its time. How often you need to do the mitzvah. And that's what Hashem decides which mitzvahs, once a day, 10 times a day, 5 times a day, whatever it is. But the good stays. Evil ceases to exist when we die or when we do tshuva. The reason why, I think we mentioned, I don't remember this question. There's no mention of Adam and Chava dying until they ate from the tree. After they ate from the tree, Hashem says, you're going to die. Okay? So the Rebbe explains in a Maimer that he said for the end of Kaddish for the Rebbe Tzimcha Moshka, why did the Eibishter make death in the, why is it connected to Eitz Hadas? Because they ate from the tree, that's why death came into the world. That's the implication of it. Because they sin, they're going to die. So the Rebbe explains, Hashem doesn't want evil to have eternity. When a person does evil, unless if they do tshuva, but without that, the evil stays with them until they get rid of it. Death gets rid of the evil. So therefore, the purpose of death was that evil should not have eternity. But Kedusha, even if you come down again, the Kedusha the previous time comes, is in your new time too. So good is accumulative, evil dies at either death or tshuva or whatever it may be. But it has to be in the physical world. If it's not in the physical world, then we're not accomplishing why Hashem made the world. So if it's going to be in my thought, it's not coming into tangible, practical, visible world. It stays in my physical brain, yeah. But you don't know what's going on in my brain. Nobody knows what's going on in my brain. And therefore, that's where it stays. It's not coming out into the air, into the world. That is through speech and action. And he says, "V'ainu mishim," fourth time from the top. "Haneshama einu tzvichim tikkun la'atzma b'mitzvos." It doesn't need to be purified. What's the purpose of the neshama coming down? "Lahamshich er l'saki nefesh achiyunis v'aguf," to refine and to rectify the physical body and the animal soul. "Adei eisis adibur," to verbal words, "shanefesh medaberes," that the soul speaks, "behemet sarsepeh," and the five formations of the mouth. So speech comes into the physical mouth. "V'chein b'mitzvahs maisis," the same thing. The action mitzvahs, "shanefesh oisa," that the soul does, "b'shar ivari aguf," in all the other limbs of the body. What is the concept? That the neshama is now dealing with the physical world. Okay? So therefore, what's the most important? Action. Now the Rebbe is going to explain, so why do I need kavana? In fact, the Gemara says, a mitzvah without intent is like a body without a soul. Why? If we just said the main thing is the body. So he says, achafal pikein, amru. The Chazal tell us, the sages say, tefillah shar bracha b'lei kavana, davening or any other prayer without content, is kaguf b'lei neshama. It's like a soul, body without a soul. And it's gonna get too much to get into now. But the Alter Rebbe is saying, because the body that you're creating, the action of the mitzvah has to be alive. What makes it alive? The intent, the enthusiasm, the fervor, the excitement. That's why you could do action of a mitzvah, but it could be a dead mitzvah. It's dead. Huh? Yeah, no kavanah. There's no life to the mitzvah. There's no life to the mitzvah. Okay.